Hey guys, I am so excited for Ethos Training Systems to be the official sponsor for my podcast, Getting Zen with Gen Z. They are located at 314 West Institute Place, Chicago, and are Chicago's first sustainable strength, conditioning, and mobility group training facility. Their three main focuses are fat loss and conditioning, strength development, and injury prevention and mobility. Be sure to sign up for their new client promo at ethostrainingshy.com and make them your number one for all your training needs. Follow them on Instagram at ethostrainingshy for awesome tips and updates. Getting Zen with Gen Z. Empowering, motivating, and inspiring you to live your happiest, healthiest life. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Getting Zen with Gen Z. I'm super excited for today's guest. One of my jujitsu teammates heard him on another podcast and was like, Jen, you have to get this guy on. He's so inspirational and has an amazing story to share. So I am very pleased to welcome Jimmy Choi, also known as the Fox Ninja. Welcome. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you for having me.
So we have a long list of things to mention about you. So you are a Parkinson's advocate and fundraiser, ultra marathoner, endurance athlete, mm-hmm. American Ninja Warrior. You were on the seasons 9 and 10,
right?
A participant, I should say. Mm-hmm. Father and husband, which is probably at the top, is the top Absolutely. Of the list of your roles. But I'm just so grateful to have you here to be able to share your story. And I know you probably go everywhere and speak. You are a motivational speaker.
Yes. I do have the luxury or the privilege to speak at conferences, many that are neurologically related, mm-hmm. and also corporate events as well.
Okay, that's excellent. And you are from Chicago.
Yes, right? I live right here in the suburbs of Chicago, in the Naperville area. So about
excellent.
30 miles west.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you coming out here today and taking the time. I know you have a very busy schedule, I can imagine. So I really do appreciate it. And let's kind of start out. For people who don't know, what is Parkinson's disease?
So Parkinson's is, I like to describe it as layman terms as I can. Mm-hmm. Essentially, it's a neurodegenerative disease that there is currently no cure for.
Okay.
Basically, parts of the brain is dying out, and it's the neurons in the brain that actually produces dopamine,
mm-hmm.
Which is a chemical receptor that helps you control movement. And over time, it starts to die, and over time, people with Parkinson's start losing control of their muscles.
Okay.
And that can come in various different physical forms, such as the tremors, which is mostly attributed to people with Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also, the fact about Parkinson's is that not everybody with Parkinson's has tremors. In fact, about 30% of people with Parkinson's don't have tremors.
Okay.
But other physical symptoms are rigidity, mm-hmm. And dystonia, which is a cramp.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a cramp. So imagine having a Charlie horse, but for hours at a time.
Oh my gosh.
And, unpredictable onset.
It's going to be so painful.
It is. It really is. And those are just the physical symptoms, but there are also non-physical symptoms as well that people don't see. And I always like to make joke about it, but constipation is a symptom.
Okay.
Nobody ever wants to talk about
it. Right. But it's true. You gotta, spread that awareness.
Right.
People may not realize.
Loss of executive functions, dementia,
mm-hmm.
Symptoms as well.
Okay.
So it affects the everyday life and your quality
Absolutely.
Of life for people with Parkinson's. The good news is mm-hmm. that there's a lot of research going on today, spearheaded by the Michael J. Fox Foundation, of course, whose sole purpose is to fund research.
Mm-hmm.
And other organizations like Parkinson's Foundation and Davis Finney's Foundation, who also provide resources for people with Parkinson's to live well despite having been diagnosed with Parkinson's.
Wow. So you seem, I mean, I don't know how old you are exactly, but I feel like you must have been young. When did you find out you had Parkinson's and how?
I was diagnosed when I was only 27 years old.
Wow.
And that was 16 years ago.
Oh my gosh. That is so young.
Yeah, it's so young onset Parkinson's is attributes for about 10% of all people with Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm.
The average age of onset is actually 60 years old.
Oh my gosh.
And anybody that's diagnosed prior to the age of 40
uh-huh.
is considered young onset.
Okay.
Okay, now there's no difference between young onset Parkinson's
and Parkinson's. Okay.
It's just
same thing. It's just
young onset
younger.
Just means you were diagnosed younger.
Right.
And people that are diagnosed as young as I was is even more rare, you know, like 2% or even less.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not one of the youngest. So Michael J. Fox himself was diagnosed when he was 25. So he was younger than I was.
Okay.
But he didn't come out public until he was in his 30s.
I was going to say, I didn't realize he was that young.
A couple of people in the United States that were diagnosed as young as 12 years old.
Really?
Yes. And I believe the youngest known case of Parkinson's is in China. A child's 2 years old.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of people ask me too at the same time. They go, why is it people younger are starting to get diagnosed? Is the disease spreading? Is it getting worse? I think it's just a matter of we're getting better at diagnosing.
Realizing exactly what the symptoms are and kind of pinpointing that. So that brings me to the question, how did you realize that you had it? How did you get diagnosed?
You know, to be honest, I didn't. And I thought everything that I was experiencing physically,
mm-hmm.
all the changes.
Yeah.
And this, again, I was 27 years old. This was in the middle of the dot-com boom. I was in a high-tech industry, so mm-hmm. high stress.
Right.
So the tremors here and there, or these little twitches that I was experiencing, could be explained away by stress.
You related it to stress,
right.
Of course.
And stiffness, you know, or rigidity,
mm-hmm.
That could be explained away by physical activity. I played a lot of golf at the time.
Okay.
You know, I would walk a full round of golf 4 or 5 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you're going to be sore because I carry 40 pounds of golf clubs on my back.
Yeah, naturally.
Right? So you think the stiffness and the rigidity is related to just being active and mm-hmm. sore. So there's basically an explanation for every symptom that I can use that caused by everyday life.
Right.
And when I got married, my dad always said, hey, when you get married, go buy life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did. And of course, when I did that, the physical that was done with the life insurance,
yes.
The nurse who did the physical was, that's her secondary job. Her primary job was that she was a nurse in a neurologist's office.
Oh my gosh.
So she saw things
crazy.
In me.
Yeah.
That, and from her point of view,
mm-hmm.
which is something that I could never see for myself.
Right.
And
that's what she saw probably and dealt with all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So she noticed things about me and she told me, hey, you know, I don't want to alarm you. And she never said the word Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm.
She just said, I work in a neurologist's office and I see the characteristics that you're experiencing or that you're showing that I'm very familiar with. So you should go talk to your doctor about X, Y, and Z. And
right.
those are the
right.
things that we talked about.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And sure enough, Parkinson's isn't something that's easily diagnosed. In fact, most people take months, if not years,
mm-hmm.
to get a proper diagnosis. Many even will go 2 or 3 years misdiagnosed.
Wow.
But sure enough, a few months later, I was sitting in my neurologist's office and she said, I think you have Parkinson's.
Wow.
And
how did you feel in that moment? What was your reaction? I can't even imagine.
It was one of disbelief.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in my mind, I immediately went into denial and withdrawal and just a complete shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
I figured, you know what? This is a disease for old people. Okay. Yeah. Maybe we caught it early. So I figured I've got another 30 years before it bothers me.
Right.
Right. Because I'm thinking, you know,
yeah, like, you're like, well, this can't be. I'm so young.
I'm
this can't
young.
Be happening. What's really, you know?
Right. The mentality was out of mind, out of sight,
mm-hmm.
or out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah,
that was my mentality, and that's the attitude that I took into it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even tell my wife that I was diagnosed.
Oh, wow.
For 3 months, I didn't tell her.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was only until I decided that I wanted to start taking medicine that I told her, because she'd be wondering, why are you taking medicine?
Right, right. What's that for? What are you doing? Yeah. So is that leads me to, so basically you're on a routine. There's medication that you had to take. What's a protocol that you would start on?
So when I was diagnosed, I was given a pamphlet and a booklet, information about Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. I didn't even open it.
Yeah.
I chucked it away and I ignored it. Mm-hmm. And I figured, you know what? They're telling me that medicine helps. Okay. And it's synthetic dopamine, essentially, is what it is. And it will help you move better. And there are side effects that comes along with it. But I didn't care.
Yeah.
Right. I figured if it's going to help me move better, if it's going to help me feel better, and I can continue playing golf, continue working.
Continue my life
as the way I knew it was. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I was going to do. And
right.
I took the pill and I can forget everything else.
Yeah.
So I did that for the next 8 years.
Okay.
I took the pill. And I can just forget about everything else. Mm-hmm. So I thought.
Right.
But the disease never stops. It progressed to the point 8 years later where I became less and less active. But because I was living with the disease every day, I don't notice the progression, right? Because you get used to how your body is operating week over week. You don't really realize after a longer period of time exactly how much decline there actually was.
Absolutely. It's hard for you to recognize. People who may not have seen you for a long time or whatever might notice those.
Absolutely.
You know, markers a little more.
My friends, my family, you know, they all know something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But because I never said it, I never came out with it.
So they didn't know at this point, years later.
Yeah, I mean, close family did, but
right.
Friends...
Other people know.
Other people didn't know. Mm-hmm. And they know something is clearly wrong.
Right.
But nobody wants to say anything. So it becomes that elephant in the room, right? And over time, as you can probably imagine how distant your friends can become, because it's really awkward when you meet and something is wrong, but nobody wants to talk about it. And everybody exchanges the pleasantries and then you nod your head. Yeah, everything's fine. And then you go your separate ways.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, what I found was that doesn't help a person with Parkinson's, because over time, you feel more and more isolated.
Mm-hmm.
You're feeling isolated from not just your own body, but you're feeling isolated from your friends.
Yes, everyone around you.
Everybody around you. Your inner circle, so to speak. So that wasn't healthy. So over time, the disease progressed. I became less and less active. And to me, it just felt like everyday life changing, right? Mm-hmm. So as I became less active, I gained weight.
Okay.
And I started losing balance because of the disease. But I was getting used to it, or I was using a cane to aid in my walking.
Help. Right.
So then it seemed like it didn't bother me that much, because I had there's a crutch that I can lean on.
Right.
But yeah, by 2009, I was 240 pounds. And
wow, really?
240 pounds, and I was walking with a cane.
Oh my gosh. And like, you would never know that looking at you right now. And if we'll talk about your Instagram later, but your videos and everything, like, you just look incredibly fit.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I work really hard at that.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't always like that.
Right.
Right. And I'm not a particularly tall person.
Mm-hmm.
So 240 pounds is pretty big for a guy my height.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just got to that point. And one day I was walking down the stairs with my son, and we fell. I left my cane on the top of the stairs, and I figured there's the railing. I'm carrying my son. Mm-hmm. You know, what could go wrong, right?
Oh, my gosh.
But we both tumbled down to the bottom. My wife and my daughter both watched in horror as we went down. He's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I was bruised physically. Yeah, hurt, but mentally, I would never be the same. That was the time where I knew that I had to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
I was becoming a burden to my family. I wasn't helping my wife raise the family or kids. I wasn't even able to play with my kids.
Yeah.
So And at that time, I was about 35 years old.
Wow.
And I was too young to give up on my family, and I had to make a change.
Gosh, I can't even imagine the emotions that you carried and went through.
Oh, it's, I mean, that
and
first...
so young.
My wife calls those first 8 years my dark years.
Yeah.
You know, and it's difficult to hear that coming out of her mouth because she's the one that had to live with it.
Right.
You know, I mean, I was the one burying it, but she had to deal with it from a family standpoint.
Right.
You know, and she was, and I heard her describe to other people how she watched the person that she married change in front of her eyes.
Yeah. That's seeing someone you love go through something like that and almost lose that light, you know, that they had, that has to be the hardest thing to watch.
Yeah. And I never, up to that point, I never thought of it from her perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm very thankful that she is who she is, and she loves me, and she's stuck around, and she's my biggest cheerleader today.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
She's your rock.
She is.
Yeah.
She absolutely is.
That's amazing. So you realize that you have to make change, that you can no longer live this way. What did you start doing?
So I knew I wasn't smart enough to find a cure, of course. And I certainly didn't have the funds to fund it. What I did was the next best thing that I can do, which is to give my body up for research.
Okay.
So I started signing up for clinical trials.
Uh-huh.
One after another. Whatever I can qualify for, I signed up for.
Right.
I figured, you know, I could give myself up for science.
Mm-hmm.
And if there happened to be a experimental procedure that happens to be the cure, great. I would be the first one to get it.
Right. There you go. Yeah.
And if something goes wrong and an experimental treatment takes me away, you know, off this planet,
mm-hmm.
then at least I wasn't living with this disease anymore.
Right.
I mean, that was the mentality back then.
Yeah.
Which is not how I live now.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, that was absolute the thought that, hey, you know what? It wouldn't be the best thing. I mean, it wouldn't be the worst thing if I was taken.
Yeah.
But at least I helped advance science in one way or another.
Right.
But one of the best things that I did was signing up for these clinical trials because it first time, remember, I never opened that booklet,
right.
that pamphlet. For the first time, I started educating myself on this disease called Parkinson's.
Wow.
My wife, my family, for the first time, we really got information and started learning about it.
You kind of dove in,
absolutely.
Found out everything you could.
Yep. You know, open the fire hydrant, so to speak.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And the amount of information that we were getting was just so much. But one thing that I didn't notice was that physical activity kept coming up.
Okay.
Over.
Movement,
over,
mobility.
Over.
Yep.
You know, and phrases like, you know, if you don't move it, you're going to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
These phrases kept coming up. And some of these treatments involved forced physical activity, like stationary bikes or physical therapy. And I would notice that after these sessions, I feel better.
Oh.
Right?
Okay, yep.
And then
progress.
Then I started thinking, what if I started incorporating this into my daily life?
Mm-hmm.
So I started to do more on my own at home. And remember, I was still walking with a cane.
Right.
And I was still 240 pounds. Mm-hmm. So we all have to start somewhere.
Absolutely.
And it was just just walking around the block. Right? Little things.
Yep.
Get as far as you can. Mm-hmm. If I can get one time around the block today, tomorrow I'm trying to go two times around the block. And I'm trying to go three.
Yeah.
Right? And then when I build confidence in the way that I move, I would leave the cane and see how far I can get.
Wow.
And I just kept pushing my goals out one after another. And I always say I kept increasing. If it's one more step, then that's one more step than I took
yesterday. It's still one more. It's still progress.
It's progress.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And next thing you know, I built enough confidence. The weight started coming off because I was becoming more active.
Mm-hmm.
And I started jogging.
Wow.
And then that jogging led to running.
That's amazing.
And then to be honest, I haven't stopped since. And this was 2012.
Okay. So you've been running for a long time.
I've been running since 2012. I signed up for my first 5K ever in my entire life. And that was April of 2012.
That's awesome.
So that was my very first 5K. I did it in like 2 seconds under 30 minutes. And I thought that was the best thing, you know, because
like, yes, this is amazing.
But at the same time, I felt that, you know, finishing a 5K shouldn't feel like I just won the Olympics.
Right. But I mean, a huge step in the right direction.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, to recognize that achievement from where you were at.
Yes.
Not too long before.
Yep. And then I caught the bug. And I always like to say that my runner's high mm-hmm. was just beginning at that time. Because the more I ran, the better I felt. Mm-hmm. It became part of my treatment. It became part of my drugs. And I just kept pushing. So by April, I was doing 10Ks. By September, I ran my first half marathon.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I knew right away that as soon as I crossed that finish line, mm-hmm. the next step is a marathon.
Yeah. You had to.
And I was kind of still new to running, right? Mm-hmm. After only been running for one full season, I figured, you know what? Chicago Marathon, it's a month away. Let's sign up for that. Little do I know that 40,000 other people would sign up and that race is sold out.
Oh, my gosh. Right?
So that race is sold out.
That is crazy.
So then I'm like, well, how am I going to get in? Mm-hmm. Right? Because I really wanted to do it.
Yeah.
So that's when I found the Michael J. Fox Foundation.
Okay.
People were telling me, hey, you can still get in via charity bib. So I called the Fox Foundation, and Team Fox mm-hmm. Is the fundraising arm for the Michael J. Fox Foundation. And they said, hey, you know what? It's only a month before the race and most people are sold out, but we've got one bib left.
That's for you.
And you know what?
Things happen.
Exactly. Yep. To this day, I've always felt that bib was meant for me.
Yeah.
So in 2012, I ran my first marathon. It was the Chicago Marathon.
What was that like?
It was crazy. I mean, I went from a half marathon and 4 weeks later to running a full marathon.
Yeah.
I hit the wall big time.
Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine. I'm not a runner. Jiu-jitsu all day long, but I'm not a runner. So I can imagine.
Yeah. I hit that wall pretty hard. But I still completed the marathon in 4 hours and 26 minutes.
Wow.
So, which was pretty good for, you know, I felt.
I mean, you finished it.
I finished it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But then I just, that mentality of one more step. Or when I'm in the gym, one more rep.
Right.
That mentality has added to some pretty amazing accomplishments for myself over the last 7 years since 2012.
Gosh, that self-motivation.
Yeah. And you know what? It's what started out as self-preservation, mm-hmm. right? It provided me with a platform. It provided me with a chance to engage with others in the community. And I soon realized that things that I'm doing, well, I am doing these things for myself. Mm-hmm. I am now starting to have a platform where I can encourage others to do the same.
Yes.
That they don't have to go through the first 8 years of darkness like right. I did, you know, and give others the same resources that took me so long to find.
Well, and they can relate to you. You know, you learn from the experiences that you go through. And I think being able to help others and share those stories just helps people provide those tools and everybody has to go through, I think, a little bit of their own journey and struggle. But if you can cut that 8 years down and just show somebody like, look, this is how I felt. This is what I went through. But, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Absolutely. And it doesn't have to be a person with Parkinson's.
Anybody.
Anybody dealing with any kind of adversity. There is, you know, the stages of grief, mm-hmm. right?
Everybody
goes through that. So I think what I'm learning can apply to just a lot of, you know, people dealing with anything across the board. Mm-hmm. But more specifically though, people with Parkinson's, I bring a lot of credibility to the discussion because I live with the disease. You know, instead
you
of some doctor.
You understand how it feels, what you're going through.
Exactly. You know, instead of some doctor telling them, this is what you need to do.
Yeah.
You know, I think if when it comes from me, it has more weight.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'm showing people, hopefully I'm showing people that it is possible to live well.
Right? Absolutely.
And, you know, I'm going to be honest. I don't know if I'm going to be able to continue at the pace and at the intensity that I'm doing for another 3 years or another 3 months or another 10 years. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I know one thing is that mentally I will keep trying to do all these things as much as I possibly can for as long as I can.
That's amazing. I mean, that's so inspiring that like I just get goosebumps when you say that, because you are, you know, being vulnerable and opening up, especially from a place that you were at where you wouldn't tell anybody. I mean, yeah. You didn't even tell your wife for 3 months, you know, to think of how far you've come and just being able to shed that light. It just inspires so many people. And, you know, everybody's different. So absolutely. They can go to the doctor and it's like, you know, do this protocol, take this, you know, medication, whatever it may be. But everybody's body is different. Everybody reacts different emotionally. So to hear from as many people as possible and relate to these stories, you know, I think it just gives them so much hope.
Yeah. You have to be your own advocate. You have
to. Absolutely.
You're the person that has to live in that body. So you have to make that effort.
Yes.
To live. And I always say this, people ask me, Jimmy, how do you do it? And I can sit here and tell you how I did it.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, do you want to do it?
Right.
Right? Are you willing to make the changes, the lifestyle changes, to the amount of physical activity, to change your nutrition, your food intake, the way that you approach everyday life?
Yeah.
Are you willing to make that change?
Mm-hmm.
Because change is hard, right?
Absolutely.
And the hardest step is that first step.
Mm-hmm.
So are you willing to do it? And that's what I always ask people. You can ask me all the things, all these questions you want. But at the end of the day, if you don't do it, I can't help you.
Right. You can lay out the map. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I tell clients this all the time. It's like, you have to do things for yourself. Nobody else is going to do them for you.
Right.
So if you truly want it, you can get after it. You can accomplish anything.
Yes.
But if you don't, you know, you can't want something more for somebody than they want for themselves.
Absolutely.
You can't create that change.
You can't.
And I think a lot of it too is fear, you know, of the unknown and, you know, making that choice. We worry so much in our minds. And I think we conjure these outcomes that are maybe way worse than they really could be. So I tell people, you know, it's acknowledge what that fear is and realize you can deal with that outcome, whatever that worst case scenario may be, and figure out how to do it. It's always so much harder in our minds than when we actually just deal with it and do it.
Absolutely. And you know what? That's one thing about obstacles, right? There is fear. The first time you get up on, the first time I get up on an obstacle, there's fear. And can I really do this?
Right. Absolutely. Right?
And you know what? Forget obstacles. Let's talk about anything in life, right? The first time the first day on a job. Right. There's fear. Am I going to do well?
Right.
Your first date, right?
Yeah.
There's fear.
There's nerves.
There's fear. But, you know, one thing that I always tell people is when you start something new, there's fear, and there's the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
But if you keep doing something, it becomes routine.
Right.
And once it becomes routine, who's afraid of routine?
Right, exactly.
Nobody. Yeah, right. Because
nobody.
You know
what to expect.
Yep. But how can you get to routine if you didn't have, if you didn't try the first time, right?
Yes. And I think it's utilizing that fear in a different way too, like to kind of give you that motivation and drive. I mean, you know, I just know from the standpoint, of course, in all life obstacles, but in competing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for jiu-jitsu, you can be as physically prepared as you want, but you have to be mentally ready and confident. And, you know, you're going to be nervous and you're going to have a little bit of that fear, but you have to like get out there and really use that as fuel to be able to just go and do what you know and trust that you can.
Right.
You know, so that's, I mean, you, otherwise it, you allow it to take you over.
Exactly. And I always tell people that, you know, if you train your body, during workouts or during training sessions for everyday living.
Yeah.
That muscle memory will take over. You know, one example I like to give is that, you know, I'm known and my wife thinks I'm crazy sometimes. like I'll just be standing and if I'm battling rigidity, for example, I would just drop and do burpees. Right, get my body moving.
Right, yeah.
You know, and a couple of things that I've learned doing burpees. I do a lot of them now. And a couple of things that I learned as a person with Parkinson's who has a fall risk.
Yes.
If you do burpees, what are you doing? You're falling down control.
Yeah.
And then you're also building the muscles to get yourself back up safely. Right? Mm-hmm. So I tell this to people with Parkinson's that are fall risks. And I said, you know what? that is a good exercise. You don't have to do the velocity and the volumes that I do.
Right.
But every once in a while, practice those moves that will help you live every day safely.
Right.
And at the same time, you're building strength. You're building.
Absolutely.
You know, so take exercise and apply those to your everyday living.
It's important for everyone, I think, especially as we get older, you have to keep that mobility and that movement going. Yes. Mm-hmm. But especially, obviously, with Parkinson's, and the fact that you know, okay, I'm feeling stiff. I need to, that's the best medicine. Let me drop down and do some burpees
right.
and I'll feel better. Like, that's great. That's great that you know that and you can do that and teach that and help other people with those skills.
Yeah, and these are things that I've learned along the way, right? And like you said, everybody is different.
Yes.
And I don't recommend everybody go out and run marathons.
Right.
I don't recommend everybody go out and try obstacle courses, okay, or drop and do burpees.
Mm-hmm.
But exercise can come in any form.
Yeah, and finding something you love.
Absolutely, and that's the key right there. If you don't like what you're doing, you're not going to do it. You're not going to do it.
No,
right?
There's no way.
Yeah, so I always tell people, I say, you know what? If gardening was your passion, why did you give it up?
Mm-hmm.
I gave it because I can't walk outside anymore. Well, take smaller steps and get out there and do it, and then every day you add upon it. Gardening is a form of exercise.
Absolutely.
Right? Dancing is a form of exercise. Playing music, it's not impossible for people with Parkinson's to play. Granted, it will be harder, but I always tell them there's other ways of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Just find that way, whatever
Absolutely.
It is. Your movement and your abilities are still there.
Right.
You just got to find ways to unlock it.
And you can always modify.
Absolutely.
There's always ways to do
always
that.
Always ways to modify.
So how did you get onto America Ninja Warrior? What prompted that?
My daughter.
Really?
Yeah, my daughter, she is a great inspiration for me because Aww. she's very feisty.
Okay, I love that. That's great.
She always keeps me on my toes.
Mm-hmm.
So when she was 6 years old, she started watching the show, American uh-huh. Ninja Warrior, and she absolutely fell in love with it. And every time the show would come on, she would say, Dad, you should try out for it. And then, of course, the first time she saw it, I was like, no, Daddy's overweight. Daddy has Parkinson's. I don't have the upper body. Every year she would bug me.
Right. And there was an excuse.
Every year, and I have an excuse.
Yeah.
Right. And this went on for quite a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2016, there was a woman who competed on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And she was actually the first person with Parkinson's to compete on the show.
Okay.
Her name is Allison. And even before her story was finished airing, they mentioned the word Parkinson's. And my daughter turned around to me and said, what's your excuse?
Wow.
So absolutely.
That right there.
Yeah, that was the end of it. That was the end of it all. I was fit from running,
mm-hmm.
right? But certainly wasn't fit for Ninja Warrior.
Whole different story.
It's a whole different thing. Right?
Yeah.
Different set of muscles.
Right.
And you got to build the upper body strength. But you know what? It was, she made the challenge and I accepted it.
You accepted. Love it.
So I trained for a little bit and we were on a crunch line for applications.
Uh-huh.
So I did as much as I could. And we submitted an application and I thought that was going to be it, right? Because they've done the story. They're not going to do it again. It's television.
Yeah. You're like, there's no way.
There's no way.
Yep.
So I thought I was off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
And then sure enough, in 2017 in March, I get a call from the producers and say, hey, Jimmy, we're going to give you a shot on the course. What do you think? And it was just complete panic.
You're like, oh my God, this is really happening.
Yes. Yep. Complete panic. And then, the next line he told me was even worse. He says, well, you're going to be competing in 5 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
So you have 5 weeks to get ready. So I'm going from endurance running to a Ninja Warrior.
But you did the marathon in like a month, half marathon to marathon.
You know, yes. But the muscles that you're using are different.
Right. This is true. This is true. Just saying.
Yeah. But you
it's
know,
not impossible.
You know what's really incredible? I mentioned the community around. Mm-hmm. It's not just the people that I've met with Parkinson's and how they've provided me with a support system, but the American Ninja Warrior community as well. They stepped it up. Really, they did. Because my daughter was competing well before I was.
Mm-hmm.
In the kids' circuits, she was competing.
Oh, that's awesome.
And because it's the kids that are the fans of the show.
Right, right.
So they have, you know, these competitions for kids. And my daughter was competing in those. And so a lot of the ninjas in the circuit knew her.
Mm-hmm.
So when she told everybody that, hey, my dad's going to be competing, none of them wasted any time. They said, come on into the gym, Jimmy. We'll get you as ready as we possibly can.
Mm.
And the community just came and they stood around and they lifted me up. And they got me as far as I got that first year. It was all the credit goes to them and my daughter for helping me.
That's awesome.
Really incredible.
That's so amazing when you know that there's all these people that support you and care about you and want you to be able to do your best and do anything to help.
Absolutely.
It's like here you are spreading your love and wisdom, helping so many people. And then when this community can come together to lift you up, it's just, that's got to be such an amazing thing.
And that's another reason for me to continue what I do with the advocacy, because I realized that I didn't get here alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a lot of help from running coaches back when I was running, triathlon coaches when I did triathlons.
Yeah.
I was the first person with Parkinson's on record to complete a 100-mile bike ride in under 5 hours.
Wow.
I had a whole team to help me with that.
Right.
It's not just me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I have them to thank for it. Of course, my family, my wife, every finish line at these races, she was there. You know, it's 103 half marathons. It's 15 marathons, one ultra marathon, countless 5Ks, 10Ks, all these races. There she was at the finish line.
Your number one fan.
She's my number one fan. And it's that community, it's that support system that I've created for myself that has allowed me to do the things that I'm able to do today. And going out and spreading that information and telling others that you have to go out and build your support system.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that are going to help you get mm-hmm. you through this. You're not in this alone.
No.
Yeah.
And that's what I think. I think that's the hardest thing for people sometimes is to be able to just ask for help.
And you know, it was for me. There mm-hmm. was initially when I was diagnosed, there's a shame factor.
Right.
You know, disease is viewed as a form of weakness in many cultures. And I think to a degree in my own culture,
mm-hmm.
We didn't tell anybody. We didn't tell our friends and family because you're ashamed.
Right.
But at the end of the day, there's nothing to be ashamed of.
No.
You didn't make the choice to receive the diagnosis, mm-hmm. right? But your character shows when you go out and ask for help. Your character shows when you go out and advocate for yourself and to learn and educate yourself. Others view that as a strength.
I was going to say it's the complete opposite.
It's the complete opposite of what your perception
you think
of
in
what
your mind, yeah.
Yeah, your perception of what others mm-hmm. think of you,
right.
is the complete
completely
opposite.
Wrong. Yeah.
Yep. And the level of support that you get that I found at the end of the day is incredible. So now that's, you know, one of my missions is to go out and just tell others you got to be open. You know, you got to share the story. Mm-hmm. Now I understand professionally there are some hurdles to get through.
Right.
But I think overall, the more you get this out, the more advocacy there is and more education that we're spreading out so that there aren't any misconceptions, you know.
Absolutely.
I get stopped all the time going through airports, TSA, because I look nervous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have tremors.
Right.
And, sir, you've been randomly selected for, you know, and I've been randomly selected 80% of the time,
right.
I get randomly selected. When I travel overseas, I get the full back of the room search
mm-hmm.
treatment.
Wow.
Things like that, you know. But if
people don't even think about that.
People don't think about it. But if more people knew about the disease and more people knew about what to look for
mm-hmm.
and we educate the public, there would be a lot less of that, you know.
Wow.
So, you know, that's become, while staying fit, staying healthy is a way for me to keep ahead of my own progression.
Mm-hmm.
But spreading this, being an advocate for others, has certainly been a lot more rewarding for me.
I was going to say that has to be so fulfilling for you. Yeah. I mean, I'm, you know, helping others is a huge mission and priority in my life. And I think when people can do that, it just, it, you know, you're so grateful for the people around you, but it's being able to see someone else feel empowered, mm-hmm. I think is probably the best feeling.
My best feeling is when I can see that light bulb moment pop.
Oh, yes.
In other people's yes. heads, you know.
Yes.
When that moment happens, you know you've done something great. Yep. You know, for me, my light bulb moment was accepting that bib to run the Chicago Marathon mm-hmm. Back in 2012.
Right.
They said, okay, if you want to run for charity, you have to fundraise.
Mm-hmm.
I had never fundraised before up to that point. And they said, well, you have to raise $3,000 by within a month mm-hmm. by the time you run. So I'm like, okay.
So, like, I have to get ready for this marathon
yeah.
and I have to raise $3,000.
Yep.
Okay.
So then what did I do? I mean, what does anybody do when they have to fundraise? They go immediately to their family and friends, right?
Of course.
But you know what? For the first time, I opened up my story to them.
Yeah.
This is what I've been dealing with. This is what I'm doing to make myself better. This is what I'm doing to make others better,
mm-hmm.
right? Exercise, education, advocacy, and hopefully inspiring others. And once that story came out, remember that elephant in the room that I talked about?
All gone.
Gone.
Yeah.
Because now they know I can talk to Jimmy about it.
Right.
Now we know what's going on. They stopped treating me like a person with some type of ailment and started talking to me like me again.
It was you. It was Jimmy.
It's me.
Yep.
Absolutely. And that was a huge change. So that was my light bulb moment, because in that 1 month's time, I was able to share my story. I was able to open up others and bring awareness to the disease.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to inspire others to move with Parkinson's. I raised just over $5,000 for research.
Wow.
And I did that in 1 month's time. And in that
That's
1 month's
incredible.
Time, I did more for myself, for my community, than I did the first 8 years combined.
Wow.
Right? That was my light bulb moment.
Yeah.
When I see that in others and I see that click,
yeah.
I'm like, yes.
Yes. You're like, yes. We
yep.
got it.
That's it.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So you obviously do, you know, and I don't want to say you just inspire, to go back to what you just said, inspiring others, you know, with Parkinson's to move. You inspire everybody, you know, just anybody and everybody, because your story is just amazing. And, you know, you do a lot of fundraising, obviously.
I do. Yes.
Correct. So that is all through Team Fox.
Yes.
Right? Teamfox.org.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What are some of the events that you guys do? Tell us a little bit about that.
So my wife and I host an annual 5K.
Mm, okay.
And we do that in Bolingbrook. So just in the suburbs here in Chicago.
Yeah.
And the date for this year, for 2019, is April 13th.
Great. We'll make sure to get this podcast out before then.
But, you know, we certainly encourage people to come. You know, we started this race in our backyard back in 2015, our mm-hmm. first year. And this is going to be our fifth year doing it.
Wow.
That first year, we did it in our backyard. We ran around the neighborhoods. We had 250 to 300 people come out.
That's amazing.
And we had like 8 people with Parkinson's come out and run the race.
Wow.
We thought that was great.
Mm-hmm.
But if you compare that to last year, where we had 1,000 people come out. We had 68 people with Parkinson's run the race.
That is so awesome.
That first year we raised, $13,000 for Parkinson's research. Last year we raised $160,000.
You have to just be like blown away.
And you know what? It's incredible, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what most people, what everybody should know is that our race is officially supported by the Michael J. Fox Foundation,
okay.
And what that means is, as a Team Fox fundraiser,
mm-hmm.
100% of what we take in, including registration fees, including everything. First of all, it's tax deductible.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just sign up for the race, you get a tax deduction for that $35. But every penny that we raise goes directly to research. Zero
okay.
overhead. That overhead is underwritten by the foundation and anonymous donors.
And that's amazing to know.
Everybody
to
who competes in our race, who runs and participates,
mm-hmm.
when we do find that cure, right? And I truly believe that in my lifetime, we will find a cure.
Mm-hmm.
They would all have something to do with it. And that's incredible. It's an incredible mm-hmm. feeling for me and hopefully for everybody else taking participating.
Oh my gosh.
This year, we are expecting 1,200 people.
Wow.
And my wife and I have a huge goal of raising $250,000 this
year.
That's
awesome. So people can just go to teamvox.org or where, if they want to even just donate, register for the race, but donate.
Yeah. It's a shakeitoff5k.
Okay.
Okay.com.
Shakeitoff5k.com.
Right.
Excellent. I'll add that in the description too. So we'll have to write that down after.
Thank you.
For sure. Absolutely. Oh my gosh. 250,000. I think you can do it.
You know, and that, so we always talk about the physical feats.
Mm-hmm.
But truly the most, probably the thing that I'm most proud of is that my wife and I today have already helped raise over $250,000 for Parkinson's research. And hopefully this year we can get to that $500,000 mark.
I mean.
And again, I can't express this enough. It's that every penny goes mm-hmm. directly to research.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
100%.
That's awesome.
So we will continue to do that as much as we can. You know, we travel around and I speak at other events to help others fundraise. We participate in every race that I do. There's a fundraising component to it.
Okay.
And, you know, what's really incredible is that the communities that I belong to, not just the Parkinson's community, but the ninja communities, they're mm-hmm. doing a lot of fundraising and advocacy for us too. The CrossFit community is doing the same thing. The running communities, they're doing the same thing.
That's awesome. They can all tie in and support
absolutely.
This cause together.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's wow. probably the thing I'm most proud of. People say,
you should be.
You know, you can do all these things, but the thing I'm most proud of is the work that my wife and I are doing.
But look at that shift, that one moment that has now created all of this.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, it takes a community, it takes a team. But when you have that one mental shift mm-hmm. or one idea or, you know, one person can create that change.
Yes. Yes. One thing that I like to mention is there's an app called Charity Miles.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Basically, if you run,
yeah,
you, Charity Miles will donate, for every mile that you walk or run is 25 cents.
Oh, really?
To your favorite charity.
So just running every day?
Just running every day, you can raise money for your charity. But Charity Miles is another example of this, is the community that I was able to reach out mm-hmm. within there, within that community itself.
Yeah.
You know, the outreach is just incredible. You know, the amount of awareness that mm-hmm. we're bringing, just so that, and it's just a free app.
Right.
You know, everybody just download it and they run with it. And
it's things people are already doing and now it's fundraising for such an amazing thing.
Exactly. And it's opportunities like this, that wouldn't be around. You
right.
know, if I didn't find it and not that I didn't come up with Charity Miles.
Right.
a good friend, I actually met the founder, his name is Gene, and he's a good friend.
That's awesome.
He's a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
But you know, it's things like that mm-hmm. that spawned by opportunities of doing good.
Right, absolutely.
You know, of reaching out to communities.
And just seeing that there are so many good people out there that are making change and doing good things and helping others.
Yep.
I think that's, you know, something to kind of hold on to.
Absolutely. And people need to tell more of these stories.
Yes.
You know,
I agree.
All the stuff that you see on the news, we need to block out. We need to learn more about, you know, the good things that people are doing
yes.
in this world.
And this is where I like, you know, this podcast and my mission, like I just, you know, of course I want to be able to empower others to live a happier, healthier life, but I want to share this network of people around me. I want them to share their knowledge and their guidance and their inspiration to help others, because we need to keep, you know, putting out those positive stories. And,
yeah. Yeah.
You know.
And so who knows? I always joke around, right? I mm-hmm. said, you know, I don't know how long my 15 minutes will last.
Yeah.
but, you know, the good thing is that it's not just me.
Right.
Because now other people like mm-hmm. me
yeah.
are doing just as things that might seem insane to others.
Right. Right?
Got a friend who also has Parkinson's. He walked across America and raised $100,000. he went from Georgia to San Diego in 67 days.
Oh my gosh.
Right? It's 42, 43 miles a day for 67 days nonstop.
Wow.
Right. And he has Parkinson's.
Yeah.
Right. Another gentleman, ran 7 marathons on 7 continents in 7 days.
Oh my gosh.
He has Parkinson's and he raised, you know, $300,000 for Parkinson's mm-hmm. research. It's just it's stories like this. Back when I first ran that first marathon, I can probably say that I was one of a handful of people who can run marathons while living with Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. But today, I mean, I can sit here for hours and tell you
all the stories,
all these stories about people doing these things.
And it's like they're not letting that be an excuse to stop them.
Absolutely.
So there's
a movement.
Should be motivated by
there's
that.
A movement happening mm-hmm. in with people with Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. And I always say that all you have to do to join that movement is just move.
Just move. I love that. Just move.
Just move.
Exactly. So this is really the biggest question I have for you.
Yeah.
When are you going to try jiu-jitsu?
You're not the first person that's asked me that.
Yeah.
So I never say no.
Okay.
Because I'm always looking for ways to challenge my body.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that you have to confuse your mind and your body to continue receiving gains physically. So I haven't tried jiu-jitsu yet.
I mean, I would love for you to come out and train with us in fight class.
You know what? I would love it.
Can I put out that challenge?
You can. And I will accept it.
That's awesome.
So, you know, I'm in the middle of training for hopefully this coming season for American Ninja Warrior.
Yes.
So there's, you know, obviously there's a selection process that happens every year. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter that you've been on the show. You have to go through that selection process again every year.
Okay. Because you've been on twice.
I've been on twice.
So this could be number 3.
This will be number 3. And this will be my last shot on the show.
Okay.
But after training, mm-hmm. I will certainly come on.
I'll be waiting. I'll be messaging you. I'll be like, okay, Jimmy, it's time.
I enjoy the new challenge and I'm always interested to see what else I'm capable of.
I think you would just love the mind, body, soul connection of it. And it's just like a physical chess game.
You know what? That's good because keeping the mind sharp and while keeping your physical abilities mm-hmm. Sharp are both
so
keys
important.
For a person with Parkinson's.
Yeah.
I always joke around and like, you know, things that I say on Instagram, these videos that I mm-hmm. do, I always try to put a little bit of Parkinson's PSA, you know,
right.
to it.
Absolutely.
Because I want people to know, you know, while it looks like I can complete these tasks mm-hmm. and do these obstacles, I wanted to explain to them what I'm going through mentally to be able to do these things and how I'm feeling as I'm doing them.
Yeah.
Because I don't move like other ninjas. I don't move like other runners or cyclists.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of work that I have to do to get myself to look like these others.
But it's so much more relatable when you're sharing, like, listen, this is the reality of it.
Right.
Like, yes, I struggle just like you might, but like I've gotten to this point and you can too, you know, and I feel like you have such, you have such a great energy and are such a genuine person and, you know, funny. And I think that comes across, like your personality really comes across, especially on your social media and everything that you share. So I think people just are drawn to you.
Well, thank you. You know, I always say if you can't laugh at yourself.
I mean, you have to have, I mean, I would imagine humor, like in anything, you have to have humor.
Oh, yeah.
In life and in situations.
And the one thing that I think I like people to take away mm-hmm. is that they see these things that I'm doing in these videos, which, by the way, don't try at home unless...
You just got to put that out there.
Yeah, don't try these things at home. But, you know, these are things that anybody can do.
Yeah.
Anybody can do.
And
I truly believe that. But going back to the commitment and the training... And the desire to want to do it, you have to put in the effort to do it.
Yep.
But let's flip the table around. Things that people can do on a daily basis, like tying their shoes, like buttoning their shirt. These are things that at this state, even with the amount of training that I do, these are things that I have trouble with Parkinson's.
Right.
Right. So, you know, don't take the small movements for granted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just as when you're training, everything that you do in the gym should, once again, relate back to your everyday living.
Right.
And, you know, that I think that that's helped me. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that will help others as well.
Well, that's a message right there. We can't take anything for granted.
Yeah.
You know? So I want you to share this wonderful social media information for people to be able to see you and follow you. So what's your Instagram?
Instagram is at JC Fox Ninja.
Okay, perfect.
And same thing with Facebook.
Okay.
You can find me using at JC Fox Ninja, mm-hmm. or simply search for Fox Ninja.
Okay. And the website again is thefoxninja.com.
Thefoxninja.com. Awesome. Absolutely.
And how are you feeling today? How are you feeling now?
Today is a pretty good day.
Yeah.
You know, any given day, it could be hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
Today's a pretty good day. I feel pretty good today. I was telling my wife, just actually coming in here.
Yeah.
I regained some sense of smell.
Okay.
And it comes and goes for people with Parkinson's, or some people just lose it completely.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes and goes for me. Today, I'm able to smell a little bit. And
okay.
That's my indication that today's a pretty good day.
Today's a pretty good day.
Today's a pretty good day. And I get to sit down and talk to you. It makes it even better.
Oh, that's, well, you have made my day for
my
sure.
Well, thank you.
This has been so incredible. And I really, really appreciate you taking the time out again.
It's an absolute pleasure. And thank
you. This has been awesome. And I can't wait for you to come try jiu-jitsu. But everybody, please follow Jimmy. He's just so inspirational, has a great message, great story. And of course, if you have any other questions or topics you want to hear about, just message me at my Facebook page, Getting Zen with Gen Z. I will talk to you guys next time. Thanks. Bye.